Welcome back, everyone, to Warrior Goddess Leadership Training Level 1. We are in week 3, and our focus today is around holding a container for yourself and for others. So let's start with a grounding, settling in with each other. We'll also talk a little bit about the Reclaim workshop and just put context into that. So. Good. Calling in the quality of your true work. Last week, we deepened into this idea of what our true work is, one quality, one word that's our focus for this lifetime, for this round. That's not something that we've mastered, but something that we are wanting to deepen into with every action. So finding that feeling sense of your intent, of your true work, and bring it into your body. Notice, where do you feel it? Go ahead and nourish it in your being. Really bringing that quality of your true work to yourself first. So whatever your word is, bring it to yourself. How do you bring that quality and nourish your being with it? And sending roots down into the earth beneath you. You can imagine that you can take your true work, that word, that quality, and anchor it down into the earth. Sending a taproot down, sending that quality in as your taproot into the earth. And as you visualize and use your imagination, that taproot going deeper and deeper into the earth, let it spread out and sink down. Feeling yourself rooting into your commitment to live and express and explore your true work. And asking the earth to support you, asking your energetic body to connect with the energy of the earth, that you can be more resourced, more vibrant. As you send your roots deeper and deeper into the earth, asking for support and connection and holding. Wrapping your roots around rocks, crystals, other roots, connecting in. And then big inhalation, pulling in, inviting in energy from the earth. So imagining with every inhalation that you're gathering up more energy and resources from the earth, inviting it into your roots, pulling in this energy. And you might feel that energy as a vibration or a color. Sense this energy. So breathing it up through your roots, pulling it up. And as you breathe this energy up into the topsoil, just saying thank you to the soil, to all the ones that have gone before us to create the soil and the sustenance of our life. And then breathing in, pulling energy from earth up into your body, breathing it up into your pelvis, low belly, low back, Letting this energy run down legs, knees, ankles into your feet. Good, and filling up, pulling this energy up through your roots and then up the core of your body. So breathing it in up your spine, up the trunk of your body, asking it to bless and energize organs, stomach, intestines, kidneys. Breathing it up into your lungs and heart. Imagine that you can pull this energy from earth up through your roots, up through your body, all the way up to collarbones, and then letting it slide down shoulders, arms, elbows, wrists into your hands. And pulling this energy now from earth all the way up through your body, up to throat and neck. And then up into your head, relaxing your jaw, pulling this energy all the way up to your scalp. Opening the top of your head and sending branches wide to the sky. Sending your branches out. Opening your intuition. Opening into your stillness, your patience, your receptivity as you connect to sky. Get quiet and feel into possibility, infinity, space. Imagine that you can breathe in and pull in that stillness of sky, that fire of sun. Pulling in the wisdom of sky into your branches and letting it move down your body and down into the earth. So connecting sky through your body into earth. So big inhalation. So inhaling from earth, big inhale up to your heart. And when you pull the energy from earth up to your heart, hold the breath and rest. Let the energy rest in your heart. When you're ready to exhale, exhaling from heart out through your branches out to sky. At the end of that exhale, hold the breath. And wait, soften. Inhale, pulling from sky, bringing the sky energy down through your crown and down into your heart, letting your heart expand, connecting earth and sky. Hold. And when you're ready, exhale from heart down to earth. The long exhalation, heart down into the earth. On your next inhale, inhaling from earth up to heart. Hold the breath. When you're ready to exhale, exhaling from heart up to sky, exhale all the way out. Hold your breath at the end of the exhale, relax your body. So don't tighten up to hold, relax. Inhaling from sky down into heart. So mindful inhale, sky into heart, hold the breath. And then exhaling from heart down to earth. Long exhale. And then doing one more round on your own, earth to heart to sky to heart to earth. Do one more cycle. When you're ready, you can open your eyes and be present here. Hey, let's talk about holding a container, and then we'll talk about reclaim and restore for those of us who are able to join. And I'll do a little sleuthing around that in terms of the container as well. So when we talk about holding a container, we're talking about, as always, multiple things. So when you're working as a leader, you must deepen into holding a container for yourself, learning how to hold your emotional content, your energy, your thoughts, and your body. And that container is based on your compassion. Like what holds a strong container in all situations, but if we start with our container with ourselves, is your compassion to self, your willingness to make mistakes and try again, your fierce gentleness, your acceptance of self. And that sometimes what happens when people step into leadership is they drop the container because they're like, all right, I should just know what to do. or I should be perfect. And they forget that we must hold ourselves, because again, as we talked about in our first week together, whenever you step into leadership and you make that commitment that you're stepping in, you're really asking and inviting in more of your own unraveling. You're like, okay, I'm ready to do even more of my own work. Okay, because I'm going into service to be more open and more present. And if you're going to be more open and more present, that means you got to clear the shit out as it comes up. And so to do that, we have to have a solid container that as things arise, we're not using them against ourselves or trying to keep them down, that we're able to hold and see, okay, this is arising. Here's my fear. Here's my self-sabotage, here's my judge, here's my doubt, so that we can hold steady and witness those things as they come up on the way out. Now, so that beautiful reminder for those of you that haven't heard this story is one of the metaphors that I often use in the firewalk training is around that each of us has this pan of old oil in our being, that's the unprocessed emotions. And that whenever we step onto a spiritual path, we're pouring water into the vessel of our being. The water comes in and all the oil comes up. And the oil's coming up to be witnessed and loved and processed through on its way out. And as leaders, you're pouring more water in. That's what you're doing. You're like, yay, more water. And what does that mean? Yay, more oil. Okay, so there's just going to be probably more oil to navigate. Yay, welcome. So in order to allow that oil to move means holding a container for yourself of understanding that you're going to need deep self-care and to get support around navigating your emotions and your agreements that come up. Okay. Again, that's why this peer group is so helpful to help hold. So part of the container is having another, like a container to rest into. So you're holding yourself and you're also learning how to rest into others that are your peers so that you're being held and witnessed and encouraged and supported when you hit your bumps, when the oil's really rising. Okay. Whether that's from something that happens in a class or something in your relationship or a place inside of you that you're doing healing work for, part of your container as a leader is having a larger container that you can rest into. foundational, my loves. It's not secondary, it's mandatory. So that, as you hold the container for others, you're resourced. We want you resourced so you're sustainable. Okay. So that place of listening for what to support does this being need? Physically, emotionally, energetically, and mentally. And your container's holding all of that. So part of the container's around being in better relationship with yourself mentally, so that your mind is learning to, you're bringing in your mind more as an ally to help you hold the container, that you're also looking at where do you lose energy and what do you need to do to strengthen your container so you're not leaking energy out to other people or taking other people's energy on. So maintaining your container energetically and learning also how to grow more energy. We'll talk more about that as well. But as a leader, you're going to need much more energy. So the container needs to be solid so that you're getting stretched to hold more. There's also then your emotional being, holding the emotions that arise. And your physical being. What does this physical being need as well? Because there's a whole dance with taking care of the body that must also be included as part of your container. And if you're missing any of those four pieces, you've got a chunk missing in your container. You're gonna leak, okay? Or you're going to get drained. Or you're gonna start taking things really personally. Okay, there's all sorts of things that we do when the container isn't solid. Also receiving, part of your container, again, of being held by others as well, is that you're permeable to receive support, to receive help. And that you're getting good guidance and that you know where to go. Okay, part of holding a really good container for yourself is that you're listening for where you're at rather than where you think you should be, which is what's going to allow you to listen to where people are rather than where you think they should be. Okay, it starts here. And that you're also intimate with yourself and learning how to hold more and more steady. Then there's holding the container of your group, of the space that you're in, that you're teaching in, of the energy and what's happening in the energy. Okay, so that is also the second piece. So the first piece is yourself as a container and your own maintenance of your container, and then you in relationship to the container that you're holding for the class or workshop or group that you're working with, okay? There's lots of different pieces to create the container out there. And I just want you to remember, you need to be part of that container. Your being, where your being is now, okay? And that's what's gonna allow people to trust you. I had an experience pretty early on in teaching in Berkeley where I was in a relationship with somebody, and it took me a while to figure this out, but anytime I went to teach and they would drive me to class, before I got out of the car or on the way to the class, they would pick a fight with me. And this happened over and over again. I didn't catch it. And then the day I caught it, I was about to teach a bunch of facilitators. So I had, 20 people that were all learning how to teach, and I get dropped off and I'm in tears. Like, I'm a wreck. I'm upset. I finally realize what's happening. I'm like, not only am I triggered, but I just realized this is happening over and over again. So there's that. Okay. And I remember being outside of the Toltec Center and being like, what the fuck do I do with this? Like, I'm crying and I'm like on. in 1 minute. The moment I open the door, I'm on. And I made a choice. I felt into it and I was like, you know what? I don't want to pretend nothing's wrong, because that's going to be a great disservice to these people. I could feel it. And so what I did is I held a container for myself, and the container was like, hi, sweetie, I know you're really upset right now. So acknowledging what was going on, and we need to go teach now. Okay. So I didn't push it down, and I also didn't bring it up here. I just opened myself to say, this is happening and I'm bigger than this. Okay. So the container wasn't, which is not a container, right? The container was, I need to get bigger so that this upset is living within a larger container of my being, of my intent. And what's my intent? To give my gift to these people. Okay. So I grounded, I held myself, I went in, I taught. And about a half hour into the class, I said, hey, y'all, I want to run an experiment. And what I did is I closed my eyes and I said, everyone just close your eyes for a minute. I closed my eyes and I went back to that place of where I had been outside. And I imagined that I squished my energy, that I imagined that I cut from myself, that I made the agreement, like, it's not okay that I'm upset. I'm not allowed to be upset. And I cut energetically from that part of myself. And I felt that in my body, and I opened my eyes and I asked them to open their eyes. And I just started talking for a little bit. And then I stopped. I said, so what are you feeling right now? And they all were like, what just happened? We don't trust you. I mean, people were like, literally, I don't trust you. Something feels wrong. Okay. Yeah. And I said, okay, close your eyes. And I undid it. And I still had the same, like, I was upset, people. Like, it's not like the upset went away. But again, I went and held the container and acknowledged my own upsetness and then held my intent. What am I here? I'm here to teach these people. That's what I'm here to do. Went back into that, opened my eyes, and they were all like, okay, whatever you did, we feel better now. Okay. So it's a huge moment for me of realizing the energetic container that you're holding around yourself is everything. It's a really big piece, okay? And when you're holding a container for yourself that you're not negating, but you're also not putting in front, like, the other thing that you don't want to do, except in rare instances, which I'll talk about, is make them hold the container, right? I'm here to hold the container of the group. If I went into that group and sat down and said, yeah, it's really upset, this terrible thing just happened. What do you guys think? What I should do? I've totally broken the container and their trust, right? Because now I'm saying, I want you to parent me, basically, or I want you to hold me. And that's not the agreement we have. The agreement is I'm holding the container. You can't expect, my loves, as a leader, that you're always going to feel on, that you're always going to be completely grounded, because you're not. There's going to be days you're not feeling well. I once taught a class, I slammed my hand in a car door. Yeah. And broke the nail bed. Yeah, it was bad. So I was in excruciating pain, and I had a bookstore gig to do. And I took a breath and I showed up. And I sat there in, like, some of the worst pain I've ever been in and taught a breathtaking class. It was one of the better classes I think I've taught at a bookstore. And what I started learning as I watched this, I'm like, oh, because I'm showing up with what's going on, but I'm also opening even more because I have to. Things are just coming through. Like, I started getting out of my own way even more. So I don't want you to think you need to go hurt yourself in order to teach well. What I want you to understand is that you're going to be asked to show up even when you don't want to, even when you're not feeling well, your dog has died, your kids run away. Okay, whatever's going on, of course you can cancel things. So I'm also not saying you must show up no matter what. And most of the time you show up. You show up because that's part of the container. Or if you can't show up, that you're really clear about it, okay? Because that's gonna hold the container as well. So part of the container is you staying connected to yourself where you are and opening around that. Another piece of the container is the physical space of where you're teaching and what the container is for that space, okay? So the physicalness of it. So how are the chairs arranged? What else is happening in the space? How comfortable is it? One of the things that I look at in a space is I look at what am I teaching? So if it's in a more intimate thing, it's really helpful to have a more intimate space. If it's a public thing, it doesn't really matter what the space is like as much. Okay. So where there are wobbles in the container, you're gonna have to invest more energy. So example, I used to teach, about to make a little prayer that I never have to teach at places like this again, but I probably shouldn't do that, so I'm stopping myself, at bookstores that were coffee shops. And I have in my head the sound of teaching to people that are all fidgety and the cappuccino machine going off right here. That's super, super loud and people having conversations in the background, okay? Not a great container. And it worked because I energetically was like, foomp. I have to have more, if there's more distractions going on in order to hold a container, you have to reach around everyone that's part of your group and hold and show up and keep yourself out of being distracted. This is your group. This is your attention right here. Okay. And you can help yourself, obviously, by having the container already set so there aren't distractions. So the room is comfortable. So the room's already set up. You know, for one of the things that's really helpful is to go in before a class or a workshop, whatever you're going to teach, if it's in a physical space, go into that physical space and set it up. And energetically calm, like it can be really helpful to clear the old space out, bring in the energy that you want, claim the space. Even if it's just for an hour, claim the space. This is the energy that you want to put in it. And then arrange it in such a way that it's inviting. And we'll talk about this at, when we talk about classes and workshops, the difference of setting up for a class versus setting up for a workshop and why you might do different layouts. But your layout's part of the container. So you wanna know what are you doing with your container? What's the purpose of the container? What's the purpose of the event that you're doing? And that's gonna help you to understand how you want the container to be, okay? When I first started teaching, I taught in classrooms. I taught at UC Davis. I was teaching Wicca 101 at, you know, in regular science classrooms. And one of the things that I would do is move all the chairs out and put everybody on the floor and bring a big cloth and build an altar in the middle. And that was us staking our claim to this, the container. And there were other times that I did workshops, and what we would do is we would bring in flowers and tapestries because it was a longer workshop. We could, you know, I felt comfortable bringing more, putting more energy into it. And again, you get to navigate your energy and your capacity. But one of the things that I would do is put up beautiful tapestries and flowers and snacks. And then people would come in to some beauty, even if it was a really bare classroom, there was at least our touch in it that was part of the container of them feeling held. Okay, great question, Darlene. That makes sense. I'm wondering if this can somehow be used in daily life when not teaching. Do we always maintain a container and just as needed? Yes. Yes. So absolutely great question. And yes, you got it, that the container is not just for when you're teaching. Because like with anything, you want to learn how to stabilize it everywhere so that it's available when you teach, because you need it even more when you're teaching. But the truth is, in life, you are responsible for the container of this being, energetic, emotional, mental, physical. And we're constantly being impacted around other people's energies and thought forms and emotions. And so when we hold a container for ourselves, which is different than armoring, okay, armoring is nothing comes in. Okay, and that's not a great way to live your life. It's exhausting. Versus this is me. And the best image to use is of a cell membrane. That energy that's supportive to you can enter. Anything that's not supportive of you just falls off. So there's a whole piece of this in the Warrior Goddess training book. And in the circle, we talked about this a couple lessons ago around the idea of a container. So definitely deepen into that as well. And there's one more piece that I wanted to share with you about this. And part of this is also learning about your energy. So when I first started teaching, I can't remember if I've shared this story with you all or not, I don't think so. I was sick for, if I taught for 3 days, I was sick for 5 days. If I taught for 1 day, I was sick for 3 days. And so that was a container issue. I was blowing out my energy. And so that I didn't have enough life force energy to keep my body healthy. So that's another important piece of your container, is understanding that you're going to need to do different things as you start to put energy out. You're going to need to figure out and be really flexible and listening and conscious about what needs your body and your energy have and what you're doing with your energy. Like I'm having a weird thing right now that sometimes that I'm teaching online, this has happened twice in the last 2 weeks, I get completely blown out. And for me, that feeling is like, I feel like the top of my head's been blown off. It's super uncomfortable. And I feel like I feel fatigued and I'm like, do I have Omicron? Like, what is going on? And I haven't quite figured it out yet, but I know, because I've watched and I've studied energy, I started putting hats on. So I'll teach, and I'll probably do it after this, either taking a bath or putting a hat on, because that can help ground you. Okay. So there's listening and paying attention to what does this body need. I also am really mindful when I teach a lot to be really careful about what I'm eating, which is probably why I'm blowing myself out right now, because I'm not eating enough, honestly. So that there's particular foods that are reviving to your body. And this isn't, you know, what would be reviving to my body may be toxic to yours. So you get to figure it out of what types of food. Like Peggy, my mentor Peggy, realized celery was like her godsend. Like she eats celery after she teaches and it totally balances her out. And I'm like, celery? I'm thinking celery. I'm like, I need a steak. But so that's why I'm saying, like, there isn't a right thing. You get to figure out, and to pay attention to as part of the container, you want to be careful of the, like, oh, I'll just eat a bunch of sugar, drink a bunch of coffee, or eat a bunch of chocolate. Always eat chocolate, just to be clear. But to pay attention that you're not using substances to keep you going that are going to cause you to crash in the future. So that, again, long-term container. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Nice. Jennifer, good catch around the beanie. Beanies, everyone, we should all have little beanies. They're so helpful. Yeah, and Serena just shared that on the Monday self-care and SAS, they talked about eating and elimination, building strong foundations. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, exactly. Caffeine and sugar make circle scramble so much worse. It's true. Yeah, Crystal. I've been finding the two classes on Wednesdays to deplete my energy and have found that I need to take an art break in between to restore energy before night class. Yeah, beautiful. Good. That's, and it's going to change. This is the other thing my loves about a container is it's not like, oh, good, I figured out the container and I'm done. It's going to change. And so what worked for you last year may not work for you any longer. As turns, you might need a like a different form of energetic, emotional, physical container for yourself. Okay, so that's important as well. Yeah, fluorescent lighting. And so that would be a good thing to know that if you're in a space that has fluorescent lighting, can you bring in lighting? You know, as part of you holding the container for yourself. That's a good thing to know. Okay. So self-intimacy, learning about yourself. And from that then resourced place, holding the container for the group. So as much as you can, create beauty, create intimacy, if that's what you want in the space. Pick a space that feels like to you is the best container for you as much as you can. And this is also true for online. Okay. So depending on the class, you know, for those of you that were on the Reclaim and Restore, that was like breathtaking. That was like 100%. So good, right? Because I had two cameras, I had a mic that I could move around in, I had flowers, I had candles, I had a whiteboard with all the really different colored pens. Like, oh, like that was 100%. And because of that, yeah, the setup, like, and that's from years of me and then just sitting in the space. I mean, literally, I sat in the space for 2 hours before the class and was like, all right, how am I going to do this? What would be the best way to use this particular space? And so there's thought that goes into the container as well of what's needed. And today, I just got off another call. I have my whole setup in the other room. I'm like, you know what? I want to be on my bouncy ball. Like, I'm tired. This group I can be more intimate with. I don't need to go do the whole fancy schmancy setup with my headset. I can be on my bouncy ball with you, with the sun. Okay. But I wouldn't necessarily do this for the public as a container because it's too distracting. Because the lights, you know, the light's doing its thing. It's beautiful. It's also kind of distracting. All right, so that's part of your setup as well as your containers, also your tools, like for online. Now I'm talking about online, well, live as well. So we're gonna, when we talk about, again, classes and workshops, we're going to, but please shut the door behind me. What? I don't have a door. That place of really feeling into the tools that you're going to need so that you have them with you. And we'll be sharing what those tools are. So, like example, teaching Reclaim or teaching a workshop, you're going to need different tools than you would for teaching a class. Okay, so we'll be giving you lists of that along with the outline. And that's really how it's part of your container as well, is your ease of being able to get stuff. All right, so regardless of what your space is, and regardless, I feel like whether you're live or online, so let's talk about live specifically, is that do your best to show up early to get the space settled so you feel comfortable that it's already in play. And then what I do when I teach is I wrap around everybody that's in the room with me. So I claim and hold the space as a place of healing, as a place of catalyst. The deeper the work that you're doing, the stronger the container needs to be, the stronger they need to feel you as solid, and the stronger that the space needs to be as well. Okay. And you're working with the space. You're not separate from the space. You're working with the space. So there's a way that you can energetically wrap around and hold and really show up with people where they're at. Okay? And you're listening, what do you need? Okay. part of the way that I'm going to continue to teach you all to work with people is that the container we're holding is a combo of listening to what's needed and knowing what you want to share with them. And that you want to hold both. What do they need? What are they going to pull out of you? And also, where are you taking them? What's the journey you're taking them on? Because you're direct, part of the container and the trust is you are directing it. You're a leader. You're not showing up and going, so what do you guys want to do today? Unless you've set it up that way, which is what could be a cool container. Okay. But you're showing up and saying, I'm available for what's needed here and we're going someplace. Okay. You have a direction. You're the one that is the guide. And you're working because you're holding the container to guide the energy where you want it to go. Okay, so if somebody starts oversharing and you feel the energy of the group going down, you need to remedy that. Okay. If you're sharing something and you start getting really emotional and you feel that the group like relaxes, you're like, huh, that's interesting. Okay, let me open around that and understand that my vulnerability is actually helping the container right now. I'll give a great example. I was teaching at a bookstore and I had been teaching at really big gigs. I've been teaching like 50 to 100 people on stage. And then I went to this workshop where there's literally four people in the front row. And it was a meditation bookstore. Like it was a like metaphysical, very quiet. And I was not paying attention when I got there. And so I get there and I get grounded and I'm like, okay. And I start doing the Heather Ash, like 50 people on stage teaching. And what I watch is this, like everyone is like, totally like, what is happening? And I partway through, I'm like, it didn't take me long, but a couple of minutes in, I was like, oh, I'm blowing them out. They're not loving this at all. Like, you got to slow down, girlfriend. And what I started doing is I started turning down my energy because my energy was here and their energy was here. So I started tuning my energy down. I started slowing my movements down, softening my voice, getting more quiet until I met them, until I met where they were at. Once I met where they were at, I started going up again. I started increasing my energy and my movements. And what did they do? They came with me. Okay. So this is part of the container is you have to feel where your people are at so that you can meet them and take them where you want them to go. And they trust you when you are integrated, even if you've got lots of shit going on, you're integrated because you're holding yourself. They know you're holding yourself and they feel that you're holding them as well because you're showing up with them. Jennifer, is it harder to hold a container if you teach outside? Are there too many distractions, too much open space? I love the idea of being outside in nature, but others might not. It depends what you're teaching. I used to teach outside all the time. I loved it. And there can be distractions for sure, but I'd say it's definitely a worthy thing to do. And to just know you're probably gonna have to put a little bit more energy in because there might be extra fun distractions that come up. And you'll just have to bring people back in. But yeah, I love teaching outside, so. Kelly Jo, when I was teaching in elementary public ed, I spent a lot of time designing the space I was given. Beautiful. I also learned a lot about other teachers and their way of teaching by how they manage their space. Yes. Yeah. You get to craft your space. Even if you're renting it, you can still do something. No, even like spaces where you can't light a candle, you can have the candles that have the fake flames. And even that with a little cloth that it's sitting on or a little heart stack, you know, like anything can just bring that sense of the sacred in to even the most sterile spaces. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Good. All right. Questions or shares up to this point before we go to the next piece? Any questions or shares?
Okay, I'll do my best to do Reader's Digest version here. So I belong to a 12-step recovery fellowship, and there's a meeting I go to every morning at 9 a.m. And it's a pretty large meeting. It can be anywhere from like 65 people to 94 people. So I had volunteered to do this position where you put these different readings up on the screen. You share the screen on the Zoom. And I've done it so many times. So the second time, well, two times this happened, where I'd practiced before, did it perfectly, and when showtime came, I had such a severe anxiety attack that I could not remember what I was doing. So this past Monday was the second time. And I felt a shame spiral coming on, but I was actually able to hold myself in my container and not have a meltdown in the middle of the meeting until the end of the meeting, you know, and the rest of the day kind of sucked for me. But yeah, it was like, whoa, because I used to wonder how you could do that. Because I had witnessed you having some troublesome days and then just zoop right in there to teach for hours. So I appreciate that. Anyway, that was a good, it was a painful experience and it was also a good experience.
Good job. Yeah. And that's how we learn, right? You're in situations and you get to practice. It's huge. Yeah. Good job. And what a difference, because then you can still be show up for everyone versus if you take yourself out because you're judging, then you're no longer available. Yeah. Yeah. Judy.
I was part of a group of maybe 40 people, and the intent behind the speaker was fabulous. However, they didn't know their audience. So when you mentioned that you need to know what are you going to teach these people, they had set up a beautiful altar and beautiful things around the room. And the audience was not in tune with that sort of thing in public. And so they gossiped about how, what a waste of time that workshop was the rest of the year, unfortunately. Wow. So the thing about get as much information as you can about who's coming is significant.
Yeah, thank you, Judy. That's really important. And that's, you know, this is a good thing for us to talk about, is where our container fails. Like, where have you experienced in a workshop, in a class, a fail, like a container that wasn't holding. And that's one reason, like the people are holding one vision, but who's coming is not that. And so to be really mindful, like when we do warrior goddess workshops, for example, like I'm really mindful what we put on the altar, because that's representing what the container, it's helping hold the container. And if I put something up there that's gonna turn people off right away, that's a fail. And so like we have a Kuan Yin statue because it's beautiful, it's neutral. We put a candle, and then we'll also, like often I'll put a warrior goddess little statue that I have, I'm sorry, a Wonder Woman, because it's silly. And that then also creates this like, oh, we can play here. So that's in alignment with the container that I want to create. And so that it's really mindful, and like what you're wearing, part of the container. What's in the space, part of the container. All of it's part of the container. Yeah, so that mindfulness of who's your audience, who's in the room with you. Yeah, Cherie.
I used to run a run. I used to mentor, I guess, a spiritual development group. And it was in my shop. So it's a public shop. But when we had our meetings at nights, I would turn down the music. I would put on music. I would turn down the lights. I always smudged before my meeting. I put incense out. So when people came in, they're coming through the incense. The candles, yeah, with the music. So I would cover all of the areas where we were going to be working with cloths or whatever, and have all my materials in the middle of the table ready for us to work on them. And that's what I did every meeting. It always worked really well.
Cool. Yeah, that's fun. Good. Wonderful. Yeah. Anybody have another story around a container of a workshop or a class that you were in that didn't work or not? So you don't have to, but Ella, yeah.
Let me unmute here. Well,
gotcha. You're unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
so.
Yeah.
I went to a grieving workshop one time just recently. You know, my son passed 2 years ago. And so one of the things I've been doing is attending workshops that I thought would be helpful to me. And so the space was a nice space. There was a altar set up in the middle of the room. We all sat on the floor, which for me is uncomfortable because I'm a little older and it's hard for me to get up and down and yes. All those kinds of things. So for me, that was uncomfortable. But also the room's temperature was so cold, and I was so glad I brought a blanket with me because I could wrap up in the blanket. And there was a clock that was tick-tocking in the background, and I could hear it. And it was so distracting because we were doing a lot of quiet, meditative type of activities. And so just being aware of that physical kind of an environment is really important, as well as setting the scene for what you want. But the room temperature was very disconcerting. It was cold. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Yeah. And especially with something like a grieving workshop, you want warm, cozy, like we got you, like the container needs to be even softer. And so to have a harsh container like that and sit on the floor. Yeah. Yeah. And so you can have, like, there's things that you want cozy on the floor, but part of your container loves is always have chairs for people that can't sit, like always, just have those available. Even if everybody else is on the floor and you have one, whenever I teach workshops, we're always loving on the people. Like most people sit in back jacks and we're like, but we always know this person needs a chair. So we always put their chair into the circle. It's an honoring and a blessing of everybody's abilities. So helps create the container. So yeah, temperature, I love that. And music, the other thing somebody mentioned, Cherie, was the music, the sound, like what are you walking into? And you're going to put different songs on depending on what type of a workshop it is, right? What's the quality that you want? Yes, Renee.
I'm just reflecting back over epic fails I've had myself. I realized when I would do small group teachings, that I was, you know, I could feel the people and interact. And while I had this purpose to teach, there was still, okay, are they coming along? Is there a question and answer? But if it was a bigger group, I left my body and did not have the confidence in myself. So I was just so focused on what I was trying to give that there was like no connection to the people around me. I'm like, oh, that's what happened there.
good to know. And here's the thing, sweethearts, is that, you know, what we'll talk about this more too, is that when you first start teaching, we're going to talk to you about like how you do that, like the first time, and how you stay grounded, because it's scary. The first time you go and there's a bunch of people in a room and you don't. So we're going to talk about outlines and how to stay grounded and all these different pieces. Because there's ways to stage yourself, like new versus you've been at it for a while. So we'll talk about the whole thing. So yeah, good awareness. And that place of disassociating is something that we really have to watch in ourselves as well. And not connecting, and that's, you know, we're gonna make mistakes. Yay, and then we learn. And sometimes you have to get to be really creative. I just remembered a warrior goddess, actually it was the first warrior goddess workshops that we did in Austin. And I walked in the room and there were all these round tables. And I was like, what the hell? Like, it was like a business meeting with these round tables. And I called Randy and I'm like, it's set up terribly. I don't like it. He's like, well, can you just work with it for today? And we'll bring the team in tomorrow and have them move it. And I was like, okay, I can do that. Cause I was visioning my regular way, which is a circle. Everybody's in a circle. So what I did is put them into a breakout group by their circle. So we did a grounding. And then I said, with your circle, around your little circle table, talk to your people. And I gave them a couple questions. And I stepped back and I watched the room it was breathtaking. Everyone got super excited and they're sharing in their groups. And then I had them share each of the tables and they had their notebooks and they were writing. And Randy was like, okay, we're gonna move the tables the next day. And I said, leave them. They're brilliant, actually. And we changed everything because I saw it worked. Okay, versus my head, like, it can't be this way. And so that's the other thing, is sometimes you get to work with what you have and realize, oh, it even works better than I thought as a container. Yeah. Ailish.
Hi. Hi. Here's something. I've never led anything, but I was at a firewalk when I was 17. And it wasn't my first one. And it got very chaotic because it was supposed to be a drug and alcohol free event. And people that were supposed to be helping were bringing drugs and alcohol in. And the facilitator really had to hold a lot of energy to keep that container strong. And I think it was one of those things of being mindful of who you work with. And because in those situations, you can't have things like that happening. So just
that's a great, yes, exactly. And one of the things we're gonna give you, all of you, is our ethics. So we have taken over the years time to write and then rewrite and then rewrite again, our list of ethics as leaders, as facilitators. And that's one of the big things, is that part of holding the container is that you do not bring drugs and alcohol into the container. You do not allow other people to bring drugs and alcohol into the container. So, and there's other pieces in there, but that's one of the big ones. And that place of having clarity, part of a container for yourself, is you being clear with what your ethics are and what your moral code is. And we'll talk about more of that later. Because that's going to be part of what helps hold you as well, and for you and for your assistants. So there's clarity of how they're helping you hold the container and how you're holding the container. Okay. Yeah. Sarah, breath is such a wonderful tool. Even back years ago when I didn't get any of this, my voice was shaking when I was teaching a room full of judges. I remember my boss saying to take 3 deep breaths, not more, not less, he'd say. I did that and my voice didn't shake again. Beautiful. Is there access to printed material for this particular class? I don't think so. I will give you the ethics, but they'll come later. I think when we do the moral code. All right, one more question, Julie.
Something that I came across in someone else's workshop is, she had a space in the front part of her house that she set up for a classroom, and it's a beautiful space. And before the class, she used burned sage to clear the room. And then as people were coming in, a woman came in and she walked in the door and she said, I can't be here, and turned around and walked out.
Right.
Because she's allergic. And it was fortunate that she had a healing space further back in her house that we all went to, so we could still have the class and the woman could be there. But just to be aware that so, you know, how you cleanse your space, that it may affect someone adversely and ruin the workshop for them.
Absolutely. And that's something, yeah, thank you. It's a good reminder. I love scents, and I do, I'm very mindful when I teach to not wear even essential oils and to not do incense, because you don't know who, or sage, or what, you don't know who's in the room, and almost always there's someone that's allergic. So yeah, exactly. So to be mindful around that. Yeah, exactly. Those of us that are sensitive. So yeah, do your best. That's part of the container as well. That might, it's, this is all mindfulness as well, and learning as you go along. Yeah, great. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Reclaim and Restore workshop. So if you weren't present for it, we have the recordings, and we're gonna give you another version of the recording as well. So you can see there's different ways to teach that workshop, and you're gonna get the outline. So as Serena wrote, that what's coming up is outlines for the workshop and the classes, and the ethics, and a couple of other pieces as well. Yeah, you'll get a manual printed out. Serena made a pretty manual that'll be everything, and you'll have access to that. And what we do is we create a folder that, as we, if we update anything, you'll get the updated versions in that folder as well. So for those of you who are at Saturday and Sunday's Reclaim and Restore, or maybe another one live or in or online, what were some of the pieces that went into the container for that class that you can think of?
Music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the music is a big piece. So the intent for that, for Reclaim and Restore, is around bringing more energy in, play. There's a, it's a lot of heady material, and so we want to balance it out with the really good, engaging music. Okay, so whether it's live or it's online, yes, we do really fun music. And so that's part of, that was part of the container, really consciously. Yeah, confidentiality, yes. And so when we do the workshops, we'll talk more about this with the classes and workshops, is we also want to set the container consciously. When you have longer things, you also want to set, what are the guidelines? What are the guidelines? So whenever we do Reclaim Live, we always settle in for what's the agreements that we're making together, be on time, to have confidentiality, to not try and fix each other. And that sets the tone, so everybody get, has that feeling sense of, okay, we're, this is how we're orienting together. Yeah, the whiteboard, exactly, to have the visual with the whiteboard, and that's really helpful to have that as part of the container, that it's not just being lectured at. That's the most boring ass container ever, right? Hi, the container I'm holding is, you're gonna sit here and listen to me for 50 minutes, tell you things that you should know, and I'm not gonna change my facial expressions very much at all. And you guys should just be engaged and hold, right? Terrible container. Lecturing at people, don't do that. Yeah, coming prepared, writing tools, hydration, nourishment because of the length, yeah. Dance option, yeah. And Maria, one of the things, I don't always remember to do this, but I try to talk about movement versus dance, okay? I still mess up sometimes. It's really helpful. Sometimes people have stuff around dance. They're like, I can't dance. But if you say, we're gonna move to the music, everybody can move. Okay, so that's part of minding the container. Yeah, and when you're using the flip chart of the whiteboard, simulating, exactly. Having matches, yep, I didn't have all my tools gathered. So yeah, exactly. Participation of participants put in the chat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, small groups. Yeah, small groups is so fun. Teddy, I love how observant your team was at the last MAGA retreat. Y'all noticed many of preferred to sit on the ground, and we started putting front row, yeah, back jacks out. Yeah, exactly. And that's part of the container, is that you feel held by the staff. Yeah, movement in your space. Yeah. Yeah, watch later online. Let everyone show up as they are. Screen could be on or off. Yes, and that was part of the container as well, of just calling out, like, if you're in your pajamas, how awesome is that? You're welcome to be in your pajamas. You're welcome to turn the screen off. You're welcome. So that, again, there's that feeling sense. I don't normally say that. We're in a fucking pandemic. I had to flip everything for that workshop, right? So part of what I started doing in the marketing even was like, you don't have to show up as anything. Because I realized, I went to the community and said, why wouldn't you show up for this workshop? And people are like, I'm so exhausted, I've had COVID. And I'm like, great, there's no reason not to show up. Okay, so that container made it very inviting. And that's who I am. That wouldn't be authentic if that's not who I am, right? So I'm not saying you guys have to be like, yay, everyone show up in your pajamas. Maybe that's not your gig at all. You would never show up in pajamas. And that's not, then don't think you have to be that way. You get to create the container based on who you really are. And this is the other thing is that it's really important for us of holding the container to recognize that how you hold your energy and how you're going to interact with your audience, you don't need to be somebody else. You don't need to be me. You don't need to be Serena. You don't need to be Tony Robbins. You need to be you. And so your energy might be quieter. It might be more still. It might be, you know, louder. It might be more cheerleader. Like if that's who you are, you bring that as part of the container in relationship to your people. But really watch that you're not breaking your container, but trying to be someone else. I did that for years. I used to teach with my friend Ginny. Ginny is a very energetically large human. She's like, she radiates. Anybody that sees her, she's like grabbing them and hugging them. And I was really quiet. I'm much more introverted. I will always be more introverted than Ginny. And I struggled with that until I realized, okay, I'm different. What can I honor about what Ginny has that I want more of for myself? And honor, I'm going to do it differently than she does. Okay. And she got to go through the same thing with me. She's like, I can't tell you how much I wish I was quiet and sweet like you are. I've never been quiet and sweet. I'm loud and brass. So, you know, we had a good giggle over that. So for her to settle into, that's who she is, for me to settle in that, then we are authentic in our expression with people. Yeah, Jennifer, it's very welcoming to not have to expectations of how to be on screen, what to wear, how to dance, etc. Yeah, it is. It is. Exactly. All right. Good. So container again is your relationship with yourself, how you're holding yourself, understanding that you're not always going to feel like teaching. There's going to be stuff going on. And how do you settle in? I shared earlier that there are some times when you might want to be more vulnerable or bring more of yourself forward into a community that's not breaking the container. Okay, so that would be, so in examples, let me say two things. One, there's a difference. I have a little bit more leeway than you guys are going to have, most of you, because I'm an author, and there's something weird that humans do with authors, that we do with authors. Like you have a book in print and suddenly people are like, and there's a lot more, like I kind of come built in with credibility because of the book. Okay, and because of that, I have more leeway of sharing things and being more vulnerable. And I actually do that consciously in workshops because I'm trying to knock myself off the pedestal that most people are trying to put me onto. Okay, that we do because of our society. And the way that we're trained around celebrities and stuff. And obviously not everybody does this, but a lot of people do. And so part of my strategy is I'm reading the room to knock myself off of pedestals so that people are engaging with me as a human rather than as this image, which is never going to be helpful for them in the long run, right? Okay. You're going to have a different thing with the containers. They probably aren't going to know who you are unless you already have a super established community. You're calling in new people. And so there's a difference with holding the container of you need to help them build trust in you. OK, Okay, so there's a piece around not oversharing and about what you're working through now. So kind of the rule of thumb that I tell people that are new to teaching is don't share something you're in the middle of. That can break a container. So if you're struggling with your partner and you just had a huge fight, that's not something you bring into the group because it's probably not going to help with the container. Okay, it's probably going to make it wobbly. But if you had an experience 2 years ago where you went through a really rough breakup and you're on the other side of it now, you could totally share that. Okay, because people then have seen, oh, you went through a hard time and now you're okay. And that builds the trust. So this isn't a hard and fast rule. And I've watched people break the container by oversharing. Okay. I've also seen people not show up and be authentic and vulnerable and also not create rapport with the people. So there's a balance there, again, depending on who's in the room with you. That's part of navigating your container. Okay. And we're going to talk about a way to introduce yourself that will build confidence in you and will bring authenticity. That's a really beautiful way to introduce yourself. So that's coming as well. Mm-hmm. If I think I'm not going to be able to hold such a large container, I partner with someone who holds energy for me. Yeah, beautiful. That is really helpful. Yeah. So every group's going to be different depending. Again, you want to know part of the container is understanding what are you doing? What are you bringing forward? Are you working to build intimacy? Then you need a particular container. Are you working to bring information? Are you wanting to raise energy? So that what your intent and who's in the room also are part of your container as well. Include the people, include yourself, include the people in your room as well in the container. Good. Any other questions or shares before we break you into groups for our question for today? Or Serena, anything that you want to add from your experience facilitating? Or any of you that are here that have facilitated that anything that you're like, ooh, and then there's this, please feel free to chime in.
I'll share just a little bit. You spoke to this, but one of the things that happens for me when I'm holding a container and I'm doing a lot of my own personal work is that I need to be especially concerned with my foundational, like, am I eating? Am I sleeping enough, etc.? Because my capacity to teach now is huge compared to where it was when I first started here. And I teach university classes and then I also teach workshops and groups. And so I have lots of different hats that I do when I'm a leader. And I can tell when I'm doing really deep work that although my capacity to hold is greater, I still have to like raise my energy up a little bit more in order to deliver the same experience that someone might have. And so as you build your capacity to lead, you'll have, I call them growth spurts, and you'll have these little things. And so sometimes you might be extra tired or super cranky or something like that. And you're like, what's going on? And it could be that you're on the precipice of change. And your system's preparing itself for that. It reminds me of like the part in the caterpillar when you're in the goo. But you simultaneously still have to show up for whatever it is that you're doing. I can't be in the goo when I have to go teach on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I can't just be like, well, I'm just not going to show up for my students. And then, you know, not come like teach on a Wednesday or something. I can't just be like, well, I'm just going to opt out of all my days this week and be in my goo, even though there are weeks where I feel that way. And the more you build your strong foundation, the better and easier it is, because we're going to have weeks where we're like that. But if we can practice before we get to the growth spurt, we can lay this really strong foundation.
Thank you, Serena. So true. Yeah. And that there may be, you know, there's the container starts before and is also after the class in terms of your relationship with self. So before the Reclaim and Restore workshop, I was exhausted. I'd gotten super triggered around something. I realized how what was going on around the pandemic was affecting me more than I was fessing up to. And I spent a lot of time just sitting on the couch beforehand and thinking, how am I going to pull this off? I'm so exhausted. But what I recognized later is that the time on the couch was me, like Serena had said, like was me building up energy. And when I taught, I felt 500 times better afterwards. Like it popped me out of the energy. But I needed that downtime. And I learned this from football players. If you've ever watched a football game, this is a thing. People that do like extreme sports, their bodies will power down before they're on. And so you can look at a football game and there'll be a bunch of the football players will be sleeping. And it's your body actually powers down knowing that you're about to put a bunch of energy out. And so you can learn that about yourself. And then you also need to look at then how much space do you need on the other side? And that space goes up if you're having your own, if you're working through your own personal stuff, you're gonna need more space, more nurturing, more support. And so that needs to get built in as part of your container when you teach as well. Yeah, good. Judy.
One of the other things that I notice, particularly with women, is the quality of the voice that they use to teach with, that for myself, what I hear me using is, you know, the voice that says, aren't I cute? Aren't I playful? You know, don't you think I'm precious? Which is a tone rather than actually what you are. But it's, it took some time for me to recognize when I was using a natural voice and when I was trying to be something else. And you mentioned earlier too that I am one with the universe and I know that you will understand if you join me. You know, there are different tones just to be aware of.
Yeah, and there's the, you know, there's, it's so true, Judy. And there's also the visualization voice that we just have to be careful of, that we don't start using everywhere. Okay, everyone, welcome. So glad that you're joining us for Warrior Goddess Weekend. And we're really pleased that you're here. We're gonna do a start with a really sweet visualization that's gonna take you deeply into your inner sanctum of your womb. And that's gonna help you to understand the power of your being, okay? So if that's you, awesome, okay? But there's an effect that we can take on that we think now I'm being spiritual. Please run away from that, all right? And I find myself falling into it every once in a while. I have to laugh of like, come on out of there, baby, like show up. And there's, you know, you are gonna play with learning. This is something, you know, part of being a leader is you're learning improv. You're learning how to be an actor and actress. And it's not, I don't know what the right type of, there's a type of acting where it's not I'm putting something on, it's I'm becoming something. You know, there's a term for it. And you're becoming something. Yeah, method, that's it, method. That you're becoming something and you're stepping into something. And that we want to be really mindful that we're growing ourselves into that rather than putting something on top. And we need to keep taking the things that we're putting on top off so that we're showing up fully and learning how to use our voice to be able to modulate our voice and to be able to be powerful in our speaking and to be able to play and to be able to be really serious. And that, you know, that's one of the things I used to do when I first started teaching with a container, is I would dress differently every single time I taught class. So I'd have a 5-part class, and the first time I would just dress the way I normally dress. And the next class I would dress super, like as serious as I could. I would dress very like conservative. And then the next class I would dress really like hippy dippy, like, and go extreme. And I just kept shifting. I didn't say anything. But like 5 classes in, I'd be like, so what'd you guys notice? Who'd you trust? Who did you not? Like, where were your perceptions? Because I was really looking at perceptions with how people hold. And I didn't want them to fixate on who I was. So I radically changed it every time. Okay. Which worked for the container that I was doing at the time. Okay. It wouldn't work elsewhere. People would be like, what is going on? So yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's an art to teaching, for sure. There is. There is. Kelly Jo, I had a different teacher voice with little kids versus bigger kids and then adults. Mm-hmm. Crystal, especially when teaching the same thing over and over again. This is one of the things I appreciate about Warga's training, the fluidity of delivery and subject matter shifting with contents. Yeah, this helps learning to be dynamic, open, and curious. And loves, when I first started teaching, I taught the 4 agreements. I taught the 4 agreements for 15 years. I rarely varied what I taught. And every time I taught it, I was enthusiastic. I was in love with the 4 agreements. I taught it as if I had never taught it before. And that's something that we have to learn to really develop. And I'll talk with you more about this, is how to bring that enthusiasm through and remain open to learning as well. Because I'd also say something and I'd be like, what is that? Like, that was new. Okay. Even if I'd said it 400 times, I was still learning as I was teaching. And that's a beautiful place to be in, where you're learning and you're bringing the same amount of enthusiasm the 400th time as the first time. Okay. So that's one piece. And we'll talk more about this. The second is that you're also always remembering what it was like to be a beginner. Because one of the places that leaders really fail and struggle, there's so many places. And I say that with love. I don't, you know, I really say that with love. When I say fail, I'm not meaning they're bad, they're wrong, just like it did not work. And I've had plenty of the splats like that as well. One of the places that is not helpful is the place where we start teaching from where we're at, that we're having insights and we're learning, and then we're trying to teach people from where we're at rather than from where they're at. And we forget what it's like to be a beginner. We want them to just be masters. And you see this a lot with people that have taught for a long time. They get tired of dealing with people's oil and they want to up-level them really quick. And the people are like, they're still in their oil. Okay. Doesn't mean you go hang out in the oil with them, but you're able to realize, okay, I need to shift to be with where people are at, with what they can hear now, so that I can grow them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So we want to keep that place of beginner's mind, open-hearted, enthusiasm, and be creative as well. And you're, as a container, what we'll keep working with is that you're holding yourself and honoring the knowledge that you have gained through your experiences and through your learning. So there's book knowledge, which is one thing. And then there's experience, which is something as well. And that we honor both of those, that you're a resource, you're opening the channel of your being to allow spirit to come gather what it needs through the library of your being based on what your people are wanting. So you're this part of the container, is you're holding a bridge between the physical and the spirit realm, is how I think about it. And you're bridging yourself to the people. And if you hold that, your people will actually pull through you what they need. And spirit will bring what is needed as well. And you, all the things that you've learned through your lifetime, through your experiences, is part of the library of what's going to get drawn on. We'll talk more about that as well. So your homework for this week is to just continue to look at, where do you drop your own container with yourself? Where could you strengthen your relationship with yourself and how you're holding yourself, both your body, your energy, your emotions, and your mental being? And just to also review and ponder this idea of containers, of places in organizations or workshops or online classes where the container really worked, where you felt held, where you felt seen, where you got what you needed, and places where the container maybe had some rough areas or some wobbles in it. And how did that make you feel? What happened? Okay, so to be curious about that. Last share, Crystal, and the group containers. When I used to teach three sections of sophomore English, I still designed three class plans, even though it was the same course, but the container class personally was different. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, yes. All right, loves, thank you. Take a moment to go over onto gallery view just to see all your faces. Yay. You're all so beautiful, I love it. Okay, scrolling through. Hello, hey love, yay. Heart, good. Blessings, blessings, blessings to each of you. Remember that the Reclaim and Restore that we just taught, you'll have a copy of it so you can watch if you didn't watch live. And there's, when we talk about that, we're going to go deeper into unpacking it, and there's different versions of it that you'll be getting, okay? And all the worksheet sheets and outlines and all the stuff. So more goodies are coming. Next week, we're talking about the Warrior Goddess Way.